Amen, amen. It is great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's no other place I know that you can go to broken and be made whole. Amen. There's no place I know where you can go and be a sinner and leave a saint. Amen. You're in the right place tonight. Amen. I want to know if you would join me right now in this place. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have planned, I want to know if you just join me in this building, all throughout this house, and just lift both of your hands right now in this building. Come on. Amen. Come on. You're not too prideful where you just can't throw your hands in the air. Come on. We need God to do something tonight. Amen. That nobody else can do. Amen. I need God to move a mountain. I need God to heal a body. I need God to come to my rescue. I need God to put my life back together. I need a fresh start in Jesus tonight. You come to the right place. That's an empty out self so God can pour into you tonight. Come on, empty out the pride. Empty out the hurt. Empty out the confusion. Empty out the fear. Empty out the lack. God will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He'll direct your path. He'll order your footsteps. Amen. That's what he is. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. Come on. He'll do tonight what nobody else can do. That's what God does. He'll heal your body. He'll save your soul. He'll make you whole. He'll make you whole. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to first apologize to, amen, whoever took time to take scripture and take text. I'm so sorry, but the Holy Ghost just shifted all of that so you can disregard that. We may preach that some other time. Amen. But we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 30 tonight. Amen. And we give honor to the pastor, amen, of this fine edifice that we're able to come together in such difficult times. It is a pleasure to be able to come to the house of the Lord amongst brethren, because we draw strength from each other. Amen. You need the body of Christ. Amen. You need your brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. And we give honor to, amen, the priest of this home, your pastor and his family. We love them so much. And last time I was here on Pentecost Sunday, man, we shook this place loose. Amen. But I made the journey by myself. But this time I've got a surprise for you. Amen. I've actually brought 2 out of 4 with me. Amen. My youngest daughter, Brianna, who is at home. I love my baby girl, about to turn 18. She's at home. My son, 24, love my son. He is at home, or actually should be at church. But I appreciate my 2 baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, love the Lord. Amen. But I brought, amen, my oldest daughter, Jayla. Amen, my miracle child. Amen, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just a miracle what the Lord has done in her life. Amen. When people say she's not worthy, or God says, listen, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all you can have asked or think. Amen. Amen. I love my kids. Amen. But I brought probably the most important person in my life. Amen. The woman who works behind the scenes, and she makes sure that the house is taken care of and the kids are taken care of. Amen. My wife. Amen. My queen. Amen. And I'm so glad that, amen, my wife Jennifer, amen, was able to accompany me this time. She's always traveling with me, and I give honor to her, love her, appreciate her. I would ask her to greet you, but she said no, so I'm going to obey. amen, what she said in Jesus' name. Amen. But I do feel tonight that God is going to do something. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. We give honor to Sister Gloria. And we are rejoicing with her. Amen. And we're expecting God to do some great things. Amen. Because out of all the chaos, God's going to bring a testimony. Amen. And what a testimony. Amen. I want to be there when he gets out the hospital. Amen. When he gives that testimony, because it's going to light our church up. Amen. Amen. But we might as well just go ahead and light the place up tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. Ziklag, smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, either great, small, but carried them all away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And the wives and the sons and the daughters, everything that had invested in was taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up the voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. Everyone said distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But the Bible takes time out to tell us, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse 8 says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. The Bible says David approaches the city, and the city was nothing but ashes. I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. Up from among the ashes. Up from amongst the ashes. Amen. Why don't you place your Bible down? Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to grab a hold of the hand beside you if it's appropriate. Amen. Whether you're a friend of ours or a guest of ours, I want you to pray that God will give revelation right now in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Thank you, God, for what we feel. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for what you're going to continue to do, Lord. I pray, God, that you would build us up tonight, God. Lord, that you would, oh, God, move a mountain here. Save a soul right now, Lord. God, that you would baptize somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. We bind every bit of distraction for this moment, this set time. And we pray, God, that you would have your way here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Why don't you put your left hand with your right hand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise all throughout this tabernacle. Come on, let's create an atmosphere of praise and worship. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, let's create an atmosphere of praise and worship. God wants to move right now. God wants to set somebody free right now. Shalabohoye. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name above every name, God, heal. Set free, deliver, loose right now. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you shake your neighbor's hand if it's appropriate? You can be seated. Just don't sit down on Jesus. Amen. But the Bible says that we begin to read about the life of David. And if anybody knows anything about the life of David, when we mention David, we automatically jump to praise and we jump to worship. Amen. And we know that David was a praiser. He was a worshiper. Just because David was a praiser and a worshiper, that did not exempt David from going through some hardships in his life. I want to pause and remind you this morning, this afternoon, that the Bible lights us by telling us that it's just not going to rain on the just, but also on the unjust. Amen. The Bible says that man that is born of woman is full of troubles. And life, my friend, can be troublesome at times. Amen. You try to get a point on life. You try to figure life out. Amen. But it's always filled with trouble. And we find in our text tonight that this praiser, this worshiper, is now coming from a battle. And I want you to know that every single person in this building tonight, we are literally in a spiritual battle. Amen. You are fighting not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against, amen, your neighbor. You're not fighting against your mother-in-law. You're not fighting against your co-worker. You're not fighting against, amen, the church down the street. You're not fighting against your pastor. You're not fighting against, amen, those you may dislike, but you're fighting literally against principalities, and you're fighting against spiritual powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. You got to learn tonight, friend, who you are fighting and what you are fighting against. Amen. The Bible says in John 10:10, for the thief cometh, amen, not for to steal or to kill, but literally to try and to destroy you. Amen. Anybody who's ever repented of their sins and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the understanding, amen, that we are waging war on hell. We are literally at war. It is a struggle, amen, to get to the house of God. But hear me today, friend. Hear me tonight in the Holy Ghost. I believe that God desires, amen, to move. But also I believe tonight that there are people here who are like King David in the scriptures. Even though you're in this building, you are distressed. You are perplexed. You are oppressed. You are spiritually sick. And I've come to let you know tonight, friend, that you're in the right place at the right time for God to do a miraculous work in your life. Anybody hear me tonight? Jesus is in this building. And whatever problem you have, whatever sickness you may be facing, whatever dilemma you're going through, I've got the answer. And his name is J-E-S-U-S. And Jesus is his name. So you know, amen, Sister Gloria, amen, we know by testimony, I feel the Holy Ghost, we know by testimony, friend, what God can do for somebody who believes that nothing is impossible. I believe, amen, but we find in our text, amen, that this man who was a praiser now comes from a battle. He comes up the mountain and he smells smoke. Things are not like the way he left them, because he was expecting his family to embrace him, his kids to run and hug him. But the closer he got to home, all he saw was ashes. All he saw, Sister Gloria, is what used to be. All he saw was the hurt and the pain and the lack thereof. All he saw, amen, was the suffering and the shame and the disappointment, to the point where the Bible takes time to tell us that he was greatly distressed. Distressed to the point that those who were in combat with him, those who were his friends, now, amen, they're his enemies, because the Bible says that they thought about stoning him You got to be careful, amen, who you call your friend. Because everyone will love you when you're on the mountaintop. Everyone will love you when God's blessing you. But the moment, amen, the bottom falls out, you'll find out who your true friends are. I'm a believer tonight that you're going to have people that will fuel your faith and not fuel your fear. You're going to surround yourself with the right people. You can't call yourself apostolic and go hang out in the world, for the Bible says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So here was this praiser, this worshiper. They thought about stoning him to the point that David lost everything. Be easy at that point to give up. You just killed the giant. You were there and he killed the bear. Amen. You were used of God. But now you've lost everything to the point you've become distressed. Let me just slow down and preach for a while. You got to the point where you find yourself sitting in the valley all by yourself. Seem like you can't get a prayer through. Seem like nothing is working in your favor. You get to the point where you're looking for answers in all the wrong places. You're trying to put this thing back together, but the more you put it back together, the more it just begins to break. And the pain and the disappointment of the dilemma of what you see. Because at the end of the day, when you wake up, all you see is ashes. Remind you of what used to be. Ashes and ashes. And you try to recover, but all you see is ashes. The hurt, the pain. Why is life supposed to be this way? Can't get a prayer through. You can't get a text through. Nobody wants to hear. This is the point where David was in ashes. Got two choices, David. You got two choices, praiser. Everything doesn't seem so bright now. That's what the devil tells you. Everything doesn't seem so bright now. I wonder what you've done, amen, to receive all this mess. I wonder how many mistakes you made. God won't hear you now. You'll never recover. Hear me, somebody. I know what he's telling you, that you're always going to have ashes. You're always going to be an outcast. And we'll stand our ashes and we'll remember how things used to be. Can't talk to them. I can't get a call to it. But I'm so glad David decided not to wallow in what used to be. But the Bible says, hey, he couldn't get a phone call through. He couldn't get a text through. But David says, you know what? If I stay in these ashes, all I'm going to have is a pile of ashes. If I stay in disappointment, all I'm going to have is nothing but disappointment. If I stay in this dilemma, all I'm going to have is just dilemma. I've got two choices. I can stay in the ashes or I can move. So here he is, and he couldn't get a phone call through. He couldn't get an email through. David said, you know what? I have nobody to encourage me. I have nobody to talk to. Because the first process in recovery is you got to encourage your... I can't encourage you because I don't know what you're going through, but I know I'm fighting hell, and life has to be better than this. There has to be a sunshine at the end of this storm. So I've got to lay my hand on myself and say, self, you can do this. Self, you can recover from this. You've got to rise up out of the ashes and shake off some ashes and make up in your mind, I'm coming out of this. I refuse to stay down. I refuse to be disappointed. I refuse to be distressed. I'm getting out of this. The Bible says that he encouraged himself. If If you're going to encourage yourself, you're going to have to make a conscious decision. You just got to get up. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you just got to get up. So you got two choices. You can sit there and you can suffer in your mess and you can't blame nobody but yourself. Or you can say, you know what? This may be a long recovery and friends may forsake me and loved ones may hate me, but I'm not in this thing for them. I'm in this thing for the glory of God. So I might have to get up and it may take me a while to get myself together, but I'm going to encourage myself in Him. But we live in a world where we fail to realize that there is power in encouragement. There is power in your spoken words. The Bible says life and death in the power of the tongue. There is power in your spoken words. Have you ever just walked up to somebody and said, man, I hope you have a good day. You don't have a clue what they're going through. You don't know how much your words can mean to somebody at the right time. You'd be crazy to walk with somebody who's broken and say, man, I hope you just have a miserable day. Oh, how encouraging is that? I hope the bottom falls out. Well, thank you. It's already fell out. That's so encouraging. But man, if you could walk up to somebody and say, brother, look, we're going to make it. See, you don't know what they're going through, but your words have enough power to take them to where they are, pick them up, and put them to where they need to be. I've come to encourage somebody today. It's not the will of God for you to stay in ashes and sackcloth. It's not the will of God for you to be lost. It's not the will of God for you not to have the Holy Ghost. It's not the will of God for you to mess around in sin. It's not the will of God for you to be lost. But it's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it starts tonight. So here was this preacher. Here was this guy, David. He gets himself together. He dusts off the ashes of what used to be. He dusts off the hurt. Won't you try that? Just to dust yourself off. He dusts off the hurt. He shakes off the bitterness. He shakes off the pride. See, because you can't pursue nothing if you still got ashes on you. So he had to dust off, amen, some disappointments. He had to dust off depression. He had to dust off sickness. He had to make sure it was out of his ears. He had to dust off worldliness. He had to leave it alone, shake off his feet, leave all the ashes back because they reminded him of what life used to be. The problem is, we still want to stay in those ashes because the devil has convinced you that greater is not for you. You can never recover from a fall. That's the devil's greatest tactic. You can never recover from a fall. You're always going to be an outcast. God will never bless you. And here's where we make our worst mistake, is we listen to what he's saying. We listen to that voice. How do you know, preacher? Because your actions speak louder than your words. Woo. Listen, you may not see me for another year, but that's okay. We say we love God, but our actions speak louder than our words. We find ourselves still in ashes, trying to find peace in ashes. We're trying to find joy in what used to be. We're trying to find, amen, the broken pieces of life of what used to be. And all you find is simply ashes. We'll rumble and we tumble. And all we have is ashes. The remains of what used to be. But the Bible says that after he encouraged himself in the ashes, he didn't encourage nobody else because nobody else was around. He had to do this all by himself. I think sometimes we make the mistake, but we got to wait on the evangelist to come in and mess up our hair. We got to wait for him to come in and jump the pews. No. We make the mistake. But hear me. The Bible says that he encouraged himself. When he decided, you know what? Life does not have to end this way. When he said, you know what? Nobody's going to come around and encourage me. I've got to do this all by myself. Nobody's going to come and pick me up. I've got to learn to pick myself up right now. And David made a conscious decision. Look in his past. Look in, amen, what he invested in right in the face. David says, you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to take my time and dust myself off. Because there's greater on the horizon. I don't know how God's going to do this, but God, you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to heal, God, but you're going to heal. I don't know how you're going to provide, but you're going to provide. I know you're going to do your part, God, but I'm going to do my part. I'm going to dust up the ashes. I don't care what nobody else says. I could care less what people think about me. I'm going to shake off fear and shake off doubt. I'm going to get up from the ashes. And the Bible says he starts to pray. Woo! He starts to pray, Sister Gloria. And he says, okay, God, I've been dusting myself off. I got the ashes off. Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do, Lord? Now, should I just relax? And notice what the Lord's reply was to David. He was a man who just lost it all. Lost his friends, lost his security, lost his future. Now he says, Lord, what shall I do? I've dusted myself off. There's no more ashes. I've let hurt go. I left pride back in the ashes. I left the distress in the ashes. I left all the weariness in the ashes. I left all my dry seasons in the ashes. I've left my hurt back in the ashes. I left my old friends back in the ashes. I left doubt back in the ashes. Come on, I've left it all in the ashes. And I vow never to pick it up again. What shall I do? Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord? Notice what the Lord's reply was. I believe at that moment, I believe that David had to take a step back, Pastor, and take himself a praise break. Because realize something, he just lost everything. Lost his friends. And look, here's the greatest part about it. Is those who saw him in distress, those who saw him crying, those who saw him wallow around in those ashes, Sister Glory, those the ones who said, you'll never recover from this, those who said, I'm going to leave you, those who said, God never hear you, were the same ones who had to watch David get his mind back together, was the same ones who said, God raise him up, was the same one that God gave him more. Come on, somebody. If you'll get out of the ashes, the same ones who talked about you and the same ones who run you down, and the same ones who gave up on you, and the same ones who thought you lost your mind, are the same ones who are going to see God raise you up, and the same ones who see God give you joy, and the same ones who see God put your life together. But you got to get up out of the ashes. Those were the same ones who had to see him get his mind back. And the Lord has the audacity to tell David, now pursue. That's great. That's powerful, man. But notice what the Lord says. Pursue. Because without fail, you're going to recover all. Without fail, Sister Gloria, you're going to recover all. You telling me, Lord, that I lost my faith in the ashes. I lost my family in the ashes. And the Lord said, yes, but without fail, you're going to recover all. You're going to get your family back. And you're going to get your mind back. And you're going to get peace back. And you're going to get your job back. Because without fail, you're going to recover it all. It's all going to come back. It's coming back to where it belongs. So won't you just dry your eyes and throw your hands in the air, because without fail, you're going to recover it all. You're going to recover everything that the enemy has stolen from you. You're going to get your mind back. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you have to have a made up mind that I'm going to serve God in spite of what I'm going through. I'm going to serve God. Has anybody got a made up mind in the midst of a pandemic? Has anybody got a made up mind that says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? But blessed be the name of the Lord. Has anybody got a made up mind that says I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth? Has anybody got a made up mind that says no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper? It takes a made up mind to be able to put one foot in front of the other and to keep moving on. I don't know about you, but in 1999, this little beautiful blonde-haired lady gave me a Bible study. She said, listen, I'm going to go back and start serving God. I said, that's fine. You do what you got to do. She starts serving God. She came back one day, Pastor, and told me this. Listen, the Lord's coming back. If you ain't repent of your sins, baptized in Jesus, ain't got the Holy Ghost, she said, you're going to hell. I said, wait a minute. You love me, don't you? She said, listen, truth has the tendency to hurt. Preach to me something, preacher, that'll tickle my ear. Preach to me something, preacher, that'll make me feel good. I don't cuss. I don't lie. Preach me something that'll just make me feel good. Hear me. Truth has a tendency to disrupt everything you've been. Can I preach for a little bit about Jesus saying baptism? Whatsoever you do, a word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. I'm probably preaching to somebody right now that it's time you get out of the ashes of salvation and grab a hold of truth, because you shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. The reason you've got a cloud of witnesses is because they've been to the water, they've been baptized, they spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost fell. You got to be baptized in the Holy saving name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, stay with me right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit of God moving through these pews. I didn't come to be your best friend. If you want to buy me a new car, that's fine, I'll take it. But I didn't come to be your best friend. But I would be less than a friend if I did not let you know that this book tells me, except the man be born again, except I'm a new creature in Christ, I still got those ashes on me. scripture. I raise my hand every now and then. That's fine. You can raise them all you want to. Preach, I love the Lord. I give to the poor. That's fine. Give them all you want. But there'll come a day when you'll stand before God and you'll still have the ashes of salvation on your life. You'll still have tradition and the rudiments of this world attached to your life, because all you see is ashes. What is on the inside does not match the confession that comes from your mouth. Love it, but he says your heart is far from me. I love you, Lord. I'm here, but all you do is find yourself going around in ashes, trying to find something that's real, but all you have is just ashes. But I've come to call somebody out of the ashes. I'm reaching for you tonight, ma'am. I'm reaching for you tonight, sir. There's a reason why there's been a shift in this place. It's because somebody's in some ashes and you're trying to find peace in the wrong places. You're trying to find joy in the wrong places. You're trying to find hope in the wrong places. And the Holy Ghost is giving a clarion call tonight. It's time to get out of the ashes and pursue what God has for your life. Come on, every hand raised in this building, every eye closed right now in Jesus' name. Most difficult part about the service is right now. Because I can't make you repent. I can't make you come to this altar. I can't make you get baptized. But I do know this, that God's Spirit will not fill an unclean temple. He will not dwell in a temple that is not clean and a temple that's not repentant of. I'm preaching to people here tonight that you've never repented of your sins. You've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Can I just let you know a little something right now? That the Father won't get the job done. Son can't get the job done. Holy Ghost can't get the job done. Baptism. The Bible says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. So when you see Jesus, you see the Almighty God. There is no separation between Jesus in God. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And baptism is a deed. John 3:5 says, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, Jesus, how can a man be born again except he enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, hear me. Remove those scales from your eyes. Spiritually speaking, you've got to be born again. The old man has to die. Preacher, how does the old man die? We'll take you up here in this water. You see, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Hear me. So there has to be a burial. There has to be a death for those who believe. So we'll take you to this baptismal pool. And we'll say, hey, put your right hand on your wrist, left hand on your nose. Have repented of your sins. I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And the word of God says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What does that do, Brother Harper? that washes away all of your sins, that washes away the filth, it washes away the pride, because you go down a sinner. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, and now all things have become new. Christ has put on, you put on Christ, you're now a new creature in Christ. Feel compelled right now in Jesus' name to open up this altar. Hear me, I'm preaching to people who are wounded, people who are hurting, people who are spiritually broke, but I'm not preaching to you right now. I'm trying to get somebody to get up out of the ashes of salvation. Dust off tradition and get to where Jesus is. Every eye closed in this building. Hear me right now in the sound of my voice. If you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins, and you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God has given you the utterance, I'm opening up this altar call for you right now. I'm asking you to lay your pride down in your pew. Let go of that hand beside you. Say within yourself, self, I've got to make it to heaven. Self, I want to see Jesus. Self, I want to walk on streets of gold. Self, I want him to wipe every tear. Self, I want to see Jesus. Self, I want to go to heaven. Self, I've got to make it. Self, you're going to make it. So we're waiting on you. We're waiting on you, sir. We're waiting on you, ma'am. We're waiting on you, young person. How long are you going to wait? Once appointed unto man to die, once appointed man to die, then after that the judgment. It's going to take place. But how will Jesus find you? I'm going to open this altar right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to open this altar right now. I want you to get a hold of somebody's hand right now in this building. We're just going to mind the Holy Ghost. I want you to get a hold of somebody's hand right now in this building. Come on, grab a hold of somebody's hand in this building.